Yes, it's a good morning to you, and welcome to Tech. This is Tech Ego. We get in the ins and out of technology, and today we are going to look at something that is very, very key as far as the development of the world is concerned, and looking at the shift in terms of the global order. Many countries coming up with means of self-dependence as far as technology is concerned. And this global order, we'll see how it affects, it will affect the African tech market, if you like. And at the same time, we talk about countries with this Ukraine-Russia situation. It's taught a lot of countries that were pacifist, that were more passive as far as military development and advancement is concerned. They are now coming out to sort of refurbish the militaries and military equipment and rebuild their army or their armies to a standard that is never seen before. When you look at the countries that have been top in the advancement, be it technology and military technology. You see countries such as Russia, China, the US, the UK, France, Israel, and then you see countries that are coming in, countries such as Germany, that were more pacifist. If you like, they were passive. They are coming in also increasing their spending in military. And not only military, they are also coming up with, they want to be more self-dependent with the technologies thereof. And then you see countries like India that contribute 0.2% as far as the sale and production of weapons is concerned. They are also coming on board to increase the output thereof. Countries like Israel and Russia, China, United States, United Kingdom, France, those were leading countries in as far as military technology and advancements are concerned. Now, with this conflict, like I said before, I said that this is a conflict, of course, that is pushing Ukraine and other neighboring countries such as Poland into a dire situation in terms of humanitarian. In terms of how they deal with humanitarian crisis, that's a negative part of it, and of course people dying. But the positive side of the Ukraine and Russia conflict is that a lot of companies, they are making progress and making profit. I was supposed to come up with a list. I don't know what happened to my technology. It has failed me. But, of course, this is just phase one of the discussion. We'll come and continue with, we'll come and give you the list of countries, of companies, especially weapon companies, that have made profit and are continue to make profit. And I'll just come and give you an overview prior to the conflict and after the conflict, so that you understand how much money the companies have made, especially when it comes to the sale of weaponry such as the Javelin anti anti-aircraft missiles and anti-tank missiles that the U.S., for example, have provided. And you look at the German companies, they are making huge profit out of this whole Ukraine-Russia conflict. Now, you have technology also coming in to also reap some profit. The people who are using Twitter and WhatsApp, I mean Facebook, TikTok, there are many now because of the fact that most of these platforms are Western, and people are pushing a campaign against Putin to isolate him as far as social media and news networks are concerned. And that has pushed countries such as Iran and North Korea them to improve infrastructure, looking more inward. They are more looking inwardly as opposed to depending on external factors or external players such as the US or the European tech market. So these countries are now developing their own technologies. They are developing their own tech infrastructures and platform and of course financial technology, because they want to have a safer platform as far as trade is concerned that is not vulnerable to American dollar with sanctions. So most countries are trying to de-dollarize, and for them to do that, they need to create an independent financial technology that is not only independent as such, but it is more, it's more friendly to other countries to do business, as opposed to American and Western monopolized systems or financial systems such as the SWIFT or the International SWIFT that is mostly controlled by the West. And that's why Russia was able to be kicked out, because Russia does not own that platform. It's an international one. And international here means Western one. So countries such as China and Russia, and then India, then you talk about Iran, and a lot of countries are moving towards creating an alliance. That's an economic bloc, of which China is going to be the economic behemoth, if you like. So most countries are moving, and you see the conflict in Ukraine and the U.S. sanctions on Russia and the U.S. sanctions on North Korea. Remember that the North Korean missile technology has improved significantly over a period of few years, to the point that recently they have managed to launch a very sophisticated and advanced, very powerful intercontinental ballistic missile. And this missile is not just large in size, but it could fly for a long time at a very high altitude of 6,000 feet. So it could fly up to 6,000 feet, and that it means that it could hit targets that is within 15,000 kilometers. Now, if you look at the 15,000 kilometers from the north, from the Korean Peninsula, that means that this missile can strike United States mainland. So it can hit targets in America itself. So it's a huge development despite the sanctions. North Korea has up to 3,000 sanctions. And almost every entity in North Korea is under sanction of some sort. But despite that, they have managed to come up with advanced technologies that could even create a bit of stomach cramps in the U.S. intelligence officials. And who most of the defense officials and the defense experts from the U.S. were quoted as saying, this is an advanced, it's an advanced technology. So which means North Korea has gone further in its development. And it's not only North Korea. A lot of countries are looking now, they are trying to create solutions because the bipolar world has died because the world was controlled by two blocs, the West and the Russian bloc or the Soviet bloc. But it's dying. Now it is becoming a multipolar world because everybody is rising. And America and all the West, they are no longer the sheriff of the world. I think the Western countries are still suffering from a mentality of the Cold War, where they think they can still run the world. But a lot of things have changed. Many countries are now coming up wanting, even Europe itself, if you look into the EU, and what America has done so far is trying to push the European, it's trying to push Europe to be dependent on it, on the United States, to be dependent on their technologies, to be dependent on their on their supplies as far as gas is concerned. And there are elements in Europe itself who do not want to buy into that idea. And France being one of those countries, they are calling for a European army. They are not only calling for a European army, they are calling for independence in terms of European technology. They want to stand on their own technologically. They don't want to be controlled by the U.S., but then it can't happen now, and it's not something that can happen soon, because the marriage between Europe and America is till death do them part. So that is difficult. But now, if you look at Africa, as far as Africa is concerned, they're quite significant development in Africa, as far as the application is concerned, or technology. So Africa can be a good market for Europe as far as technology is concerned. But then there are a few things that need to be ironed out, and then Europe is no longer the only player as far as trade is concerned, which at the same time still remains Africa's key trading partner. But then there are bumps in the way for Europe to keep its hold on Africa. Because I think the way for Europe now is becoming slippery if Europe doesn't iron out certain things that I'm going to highlight. I'm just going to highlight one of them. The issue of Europe, now let me just put them parallel. Europe and China, they see Africa as a good market because Africa has 1.2 billion people, that is going to 1.4. And this 1.4 billion people, a large number in the population is the young people. It's made up of young people. A huge chunk of that population is made of young people, which means Africa is the youngest continent. It being a youngest continent, you have a very high appetite on technology, especially mobile phone technology. you have a very big appetite, and then therefore there is a huge market for example, internet service providing companies to come in and improve the internet services in Africa and the internet quality, and then the and empower and increase the speed in terms of connectivity and bandwidth. So the market is very huge as compared to Europe. So Europe needs this market. China needs this market. Now, the problem that is between Europe and China is that China comes for business and to make money only.
It's time to celebrate your culture wherever you go. Are you ready to win big with a passion for your culture? Then you should definitely be part of the Culture Collection Journey as we display Namibia's diverse culture across the country. Buy any Omaire, Oshitaka or Oshikandela product and SMS the unique code on the gable top or cap to 88100 to win your share of $500,000 Namibian dollars. Keep pack as proof. Valid from 18 March to 29 April 2022. Culture Collection. Celebrate your culture. T's and C's apply. Powered by Namibia Dairies.
All right. So when you look at China, their purpose to come in Africa is to make money and money only. Or maybe is to make money and to be powerful. Europe wants to preach to Africa and irritate them with the sermons and doctrines of democracy, rule of law, good governance. That's not a good music for Africa. And that's where Europe is losing ground. Europe wants to preach a doctrine. They want to come with a pulpit. With verses and chapters on good governance and the rule of law. And that does not play well with Africa. So they become antagonized. And though Europe remains a key trading partner of Africa, they are going to lose that soon if they do not change that mentality. Because most countries are becoming more lenient to China. Not because China is perfect, but China does not seem to interfere with how you govern your country. It's about how they want to come and make money. So Europe comes with a sermon and it comes to introduce a doctrine of good governance and then rule of law and what. And at the same time, playing a hypocrisy and a game when it comes to the intake of refugees. Some refugees are turned away and some are accepted like now in case of the Palestinian Middle East refugees and African refugees. And then you have Ukrainian refugees that are angels now. So that alone is hypocrisy that becomes a thorn in the flesh to many countries. And it creates a bit of a bump in trade. So it seems that China doesn't interfere in that. So all they come is to establish infrastructure and make money. So they don't really care about who governs where. Now, the issue of Africa being a huge market, we are looking at it from a consumer point of view. But not only that, I think Africa needs to be given more chance. Because I was reading something that African banks are the most advanced banks as far as financial technology is concerned, even better than European banks. So if African banks can be given an opportunity to penetrate the European market, that would be a huge financial scoop for Africa. The Eastern Bloc, the Eastern African Bloc has an application called M-Pesa. That is an application for, it's a financial app. And when we get more time, one day we'll come and talk about that application and how it works. So when it comes to financial technology in Africa, African banks are advanced. They use that, especially applications, very, very effectively. So, and Namibia being one of the countries that, in my view, can be in a top 10 in Africa with the advanced financial technology. As far as it, and the banking sector is the most industrialized, is the most advanced. I don't think you can disagree with me on that one. So they are the most advanced. Depending on your experience and of course on what type of bank that you bank with, but the, so far as technology is concerned, and the use of application, and the digital, the digitization, the banking sector is the most advanced. Not even the Ministry of Information and Technology can come to it. They don't have a, they don't have an application, apart from a WhatsApp page and what's and then a website. So that's a huge ministry that only is that is only limited to a website and a WhatsApp group. So, but by this time, they were supposed to have other options, other applications in place, and then spearhead the digitization of the whole country. But instead, when you see the Ministry of Information Communication Technology participating, it's COVID-19. So that's another huge it's a huge disappointment. And then it becomes a huge gap, creates a huge gap between the growth of the country as far as technology is concerned, and then so they becomes it becomes it fixes a gulf between where you want to go and how you are doing things. Like I said, in democracy you can move backward. And yet you are claiming to say, no, we are moving forward. Because in democracy, it's about what you feel. You can talk about what you feel. So you can move forward. You can put a reverse gear and they say, no, we are moving forward. When it comes to the issue of tech, the internet devices that we have, they are most advanced. But the internet infrastructures that we have is backward. We are using an internet infrastructure and internet technology that is 40 years old, which means Europe is 40 years ahead of us in that regard. But when it comes to the devices, we are at the same pace. And that's why even if you bring in a faster a device that can, even if you bring in infrastructures that are, or internet that is, you want to improve the connectivity, as long as that is in the old infrastructure, then it's like you are putting old wine in a new skin. So it's like you are putting old wine in a new skin. If you are, you can bring in new services, new softwares and connectivities, but on an old infrastructure, it's like you are putting a new wine or old wine in a new skin. Right. It is 21 minutes to 12. Now, what are we learning from all this conflict? And many countries are learning to say, look, America and the West. I'm not against the West. I'm not against America. But I'm presenting the facts as they are. Many countries are learning that, look, we need to fix something here. We need to understand who we are and what do we want, our interest. I was listening to a panel where somebody from India said, look, India must solve India. India for Indians. No country from outside must come and tell us what we need to do. India must. India is for Indians. And it must solve Indian problems. So many countries are discovering that, look, depending on the US is good, but it is detrimental because we don't know. The US and the West are unpredictable. So they are unpredictable and you cannot rely on them. Now, the issue of technology, of course, we have companies that are coming in to be monopolies, especially Western companies that are monopolizing the tech industry. But for Russia now, it is going to be a good opportunity for innovation within. So it is going to be a good opportunity for people to innovate within, to come up with their own technology, come up with their own mobile phones, and come up with their own semiconductors. But the world is interconnected to the point that sanctioning one person, you are almost sanctioning all, because you also get one or two things from that person. I would use the Iranian sanctions or the North Korean sanctions as an example. That the North Koreans have received new sanctions now in response to their last week test of the intercontinental ballistic missile that is most sophisticated and is a long range. The US imposed new sanctions. But if the old sanctions could not deter North Korea from accessing raw materials that led to the production of the most sophisticated intercontinental ballistic missile, then it means that sanctioning Russia, which is a larger country compared to North Korea, with vast reserves of almost every natural resource that can be, almost every raw material, it puts the effectiveness of the sanctions into question. So it puts the whole thing into question. However, the Chinese tech market or the Chinese tech industry is seeing a huge opportunity in Russia. And most countries are now moving towards China. Like what I have said earlier on, to say China is not really interested in who governs how. All they want is to make money or to expand their influence. And China being the second largest economy in the world, that already has set a new global shift. That the world is no longer monopolized by the West. And within 10 years to come, or 2 years to come right now, we are going to see a change in terms of trade and how countries are trading with each other. Right. We will be going for a short break, and we will return and continue with this conversation. Just stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
How can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position, mm-hmm. to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye. Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
How can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position, mm-hmm. to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, we come back. Most countries are moving towards creating their own blocks and coming up wanting to be more free. Okay, let me give you an example of what happened. I think it was yesterday in the Negev, southern Israel, where Israel hosted a forum of foreign ministers from Egypt, Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, and Morocco, and of course the US. And then they are talking about coming up with an organization that in their view is able to intimidate and deter the enemy, that is Iran. Okay, so and it has history has already proven that the more you isolate Iran, it seems that the more they grow on their own. If they are able to make one of the most sophisticated pistol, that is underwater, a kind of a pistol, small gun, that is only the Russians that have it, then it really sends a clear message that these countries are self-dependent to the point that sanctions become just a dictionary word. It's impractical. Now let's turn it to our doorsteps. If South Africa is sanctioned, which is the most advanced economy on the African continent, will it survive the sanctions? Will Africa stand to be isolated from the world when they were crying, when they were banned from traveling to Europe because of the Omicron, and President Hagegen Gob and Ramaphosa were already crying? So are they able to be isolated like the way Russia is isolated? How much of an impact economically will that make on the stage of on a global stage of trade? So that's a question that parliamentarians, lawmakers, and ministers need to ask themselves. Do we have mechanisms in Africa to stand on our own? Are we calling for an advancement of our own technology? Are we coding enough applications? Should Facebook and WhatsApp say, guys, we are closing our doors? Facebook is saying, no, we closed our door in Russia. They did not close the door in Russia. They were kicked out of Russia. They did not close the door. They were kicked out. Instagram, Twitter, out. Google, out. They were already having restrictions in terms of how they should operate in Russia and in China. Because these countries have mechanisms, they can create their own applications. So will Africa be able to stand on its own? When I think it will just only take 24 hours, you will hear the Egyptian stock, you will hear that it will even split, because some countries in Africa will not even allow to they don't even care about their sovereignty. I can put it that way. We don't care about that. We want to be correct in the eyes of the international community. We want to be correct in the eyes of Europe. So the question is, can Africa stand sanctions? Do we have mechanism in Africa to be able to help us cope? Or are we going to see massive demonstration that is going to lead to a serious karatagoma in every country? When you are reading a Ukraine-Russia situation and you say, it doesn't affect us, let's talk about the water that is not in Havana. Oh, okay. Until you get to the point of buying bread for $60. That's when you know that the Ukraine-Russia karatagoma affects you big time. Because Africa is a main importer of cake flour, which is wheat, from either Ukraine or Russia. So it's a main importer, one of the main importer of sunflower oil. Africa is the main importer of fuel, crude oil, or so until oil, until petrol is $24 per liter, and at the filling station in Namibia, then you start to pay $30 for transport one way. That's when you start to understand that the Ukraine issue affects you. So lack of water is fine. You can dig water in Havana. You can dig and get it underground. But you will not dig oil. You will not dig bread from underground. So whatever is happening where affects you, because the global market is interconnected. The global tech, the technology is global. It is interconnected. So if war breaks out there and the system is hit and the undersea cable is messed up, you will not get connectivity in your office in Windhoek. So we should stop thinking that whatever is going on there does not affect Africa. That thinking is incorrect. But what is going on in Ukraine presents opportunities for many countries to be able to be able to recheck themselves and shift their dependence on other countries and start to create one or two things. We should start developing our own technology infrastructure. I think the investors who should come here are the people who are more in skill transfer, not to come and do a green scheme. It must be a skill transfer situation where people are taught how to come up, how to put wires together and make it a cable, a USB cable. How do you put maybe lead and mercury components and some other stuff and come up with a phone or a lithium battery of either a laptop or a computer? Namibia coming up with their own batteries that are made according to the temperature of Namibia. When the Germans went into Russia, their tanks could not start because the tank it became too cold. But the Russian tanks were moving. And that's where 91,000 troops died of cold in Russia. The Second World War. Almost 91,000 soldiers died of cold. So the technology that we have are designed for Europe, for China. And it's good, yes, it's effective, but it's not really answering directly to the need. For example, let me give you a bot software that does read. For example, if you go on a website, news website, you find where you can click and somebody reads. And I can give you a name, Inoshwambo, which, for example, Nyonanye, that's a name. So this bot software, because it was designed and coded in English, it will not read that word, it will not pronounce that word. So you see, it's not directly answering to the need. But if somebody codes an application here in Namibia, you are considering how you pronounce Kwekwe Kwebab words and how you pronounce Oshiherero words and how you pronounce Oshiwambo words or any other language in Namibia, because you are in here and you understand. So you are coding according to the need of the people. And I think this is what the Ministry of International Relations and the Ministry of Trade and the Ministry of Information and Communication and Technology must come in and encourage. Not to come up with kick COVID-19 campaigns. That's not Ministry of Information's work. That's Ministry of Health. So the Ministry of Information, Communication and Technology must oversee and identify the need, the technological need of somebody who is in Omgwelume there, Akafia. Not to come up with a threat of 100,000 for somebody voicing their opinion on COVID-19. That's already a sign that we don't understand. We don't understand where we are going. So that's another sign. You see, when you don't understand war and you are in war, you retreat where you are supposed to fight. And you fight when you are supposed to retreat. Therefore, the casualty becomes very high. You suffer a high casualty because you don't understand. Where you are supposed to retreat, where you are supposed to run and hide, you want to come out and fight. And then where you are supposed to fight, you want to go into hiding. And then you become you actually fall at the mercy of your enemy. So for me, I tend to believe that Namibia stands a good chance, and Africa stands a good chance to self-evolve as far as technology is concerned. And we have a lot of institutions of high learning that can do that. They just need political will in terms of empowering them and coming up and supporting innovation. Listening to tech sector. You cannot call somebody who is a chef and you tell them to spearhead the fourth industrial revolution. So when you are coming up with a technology department, you need to listen to people that are in the department of technology. You need to get advice from people in the industry of tech itself. Because they are the people that understand what needs to be done. So until we change that, we will be at the mercy. We will continue 30 years until 2063 at the mercy of others, receiving leftovers. Do you know that people are still buying iPhone 5S? People are still buying iPhone 5 in Africa. There's still a market. Phones that are already outdated in America and Europe, they are not used anymore because they are not compatible with the latest applications. But here we are still buying them. Why? It's lack of knowledge. All right, it's time for me to say goodbye. For me, I would say that I think we are blind to opportunities that are before us. And it's lack of political willpower that is putting innovation at the bottom, in the bottomless pit, when they are trying to rise and nobody is pulling them out. And of course, this has been the Tech Show. We are going to continue again next time. Have some good time with more shows to come.